Muhammad came in the 7th century A.D. He came after the time of the fall of the Roman Empire. He came at the time when Christianity and Judaism were very separate religions, had enormous amounts of political and religious and cultural strife between them. This is the time, by the way, of King Arthur and his brother Madoc, who by the way settled in Mobile, Alabama.
Wait, whoa. That is such a Glenn Kimball moment. King Arthur's brother settled in Mobile, Alabama.
Well, I didn't invent that. They still have the celebration there.
Okay, but how does King Arthur's brother end up in Mobile, Alabama?
Well, you and I have to do a show on that one of these days. But his brother Madoc, I mean, I'm not the travel bureau for Mobile, Alabama.
I'm not saying he made it up. I'm just saying, like, how does that happen? What year does he end up in Mobile, Alabama?
In the 6th century A.D.
Okay, so he makes it. King Arthur's brother makes it all the way to Mobile, Alabama in the 6th century.
Yeah, this is about the time of Muhammad, okay?
Okay, all right.
We give it some context, some flavor here, okay?
All right.
We're talking about well before Christopher Columbus here.
Right, well, I get that part. Okay, so,
and
so
it
let's...
it comes right in the middle of the instigation and the life expectancy of some very, very large libraries. For example, the library in Beijing, China, was found during the time of Muhammad. This library in China not only contained all the writings of Confucius and the dogmas of the Tao, but it contained an entire huge collection of the words of Jesus and his instructions to Peter and his descriptions of the Ten Commandments. We have those things in our day and age. These libraries from China, which is amazing. I mean, this is so sensational and stunning that it's going to make people wonder what in the heck we're talking about, you know. But those, my son and I have done a class on that library that exists. But that comes at the time of Muhammad's life, okay?
Right, okay.
So Muhammad was born. His dad died when he was about just 6 months before he was born. His mother died when he was 6 years old. And so he was really basically an orphan from an itinerant family. That means a lower class family. And if you know anything about the Arabic community, they place a great deal of importance on their heritage and the power of their father and their lineage and those kinds of things. And in essence, Muhammad was left abandoned alone, an orphan. By the time he was 6 years old. So for him to have risen to be the premier figure in the Arabic world, in the Islamic world, is in itself a miraculous event.
Okay.
So he's born in Mecca. He sees all of these religions that are Arabic in nature, that they drew from India, they drew from Africa, they drew from a variety from Egypt, these mystical religions which were often called pagan by Western Christianity, which I think is probably an inappropriate term.
Sure, it's not entirely accurate, but these would have been nomadic religions that were sometimes in conflict with each other because they might have been associated with one warlord over another warlord.
Right, and in essence, Muhammad developed mastered a great deal of money through merchant traffic. He was a camel aficionado, sold camels, launched caravans, and he was right there in Mecca, right in the throat of the traffic, the merchant traffic from the east to the west. And so this little teeny obscure town of Mecca was getting filthy rich off the trade from east to west at that particular moment in history, which is just fine. I think that's wonderful. It's honorable to have gold. You know, I wish that someone would honor me as much, you know.
Maybe that's what the guys with the machine guns were going to bring you. But anyway.
Yeah, well, right, so next time I'm going to charge. At least I didn't pay him not to shoot me.
So here's what happened. So Muhammad, at some point, receives the word of God.
We're not quite there yet.
Okay, go ahead.
He's he's developed this business where he gets a lot of money and he gets a following of people who work for him in the camel business, but also who listen to his wisdom, because he speaks out against all of these mystical religions in Mecca. And in essence, is run out of town for all intents and purposes, and has to spend enormous amounts of time in Medina to the north, because the people in Mecca hated being criticized by Mohammed, because they, at that moment in time, Islam did not exist. What eventually happened, though, is he returned to Mecca, and he had a peculiar custom, which was not peculiar at all to Judaism and Christianity. He had this custom of going to these sacred places and meditating in these temple-like structures and seeing visions. Now, that's what the temples were all about. They were schools. They were places you could go and dream your dreams and have your visions and have your communication with deity. And so Mohammed was doing the very same thing that the Jews did in the Temple of Solomon, that the Egyptians did in the temples of Armana, which, by the way, were the exact replica of the Temple of Solomon. And they also, the temple in Armana in Egypt also once housed the Ark of the Covenant. We think the Ark of the Covenant was built in the deserts of the Sinai. It was not. It was built and housed in the shrines at Armana. But so Mohammed had heard about this process about how to gain knowledge. And by the way, the kinds of knowledge that you got from these visions wasn't just religious. The kinds of knowledge that you would get would be things like astronomy, mathematics, agriculture, medicine. These people were learning a great deal from these experiences. In fact, the libraries prior to one of the greatest libraries in the history of the world was the Ionian Library. It was prior to the Alexandria Library. We name an atomical particle an ion. An ion's named after these Ionian Library documents, which describe atoms and electrons in a fashion that they didn't have telescope or microscopes to be able to observe. So these people, and where did they get all this knowledge from? They got it from this process that Mohammed used to discover, to learn not only about religion, but about mathematics, obviously, and all the other sciences. They had 9 different courses of studies in these places. So one night when he was in Mecca, he left Mecca, went to his favorite temple spot, had this vision of Gabriel, which was very coincidental, very parallel, because remember, it was Gabriel who announced to Joseph and Mary the coming of the birth of Jesus. It was Gabriel who taught Daniel the dreams, taught him how to interpret dreams at the time of Daniel. Gabriel's the guy who is a very common messenger for these kinds of events.
Muhammad says that this has been delivered to him, this resuscitation has happened, and then what happens then?
Well, during his lifetime, Muhammad was illiterate in terms of not being able to write, but he... So he dictated this recitation to his followers, who did have scribal capability, and during his lifetime, they did write it down. That doesn't mean that the Quran that we have today is the exact same thing that was written down during his life, because Uthman, who eventually gave us what we have as the Quran today, was the third generation imam, or caliph after Muhammad. And so many of the renditions that we have in our day and age really come from between 120 years and 200 years after, 280 years actually, after the death of Muhammad.